What's up, everybody? It's your boy Flash Player, Legacy Gaming, aka Malachi 36. I am here with Gravity Mark 2. Hold on 1 second, I have to make sure that the sound check is going through nicely. It is. So I'm not sure why that didn't, but I think we're good to go. But yeah, guys, we're here all day anime, episode 9. How's everybody doing? How are you doing there, Gravity?
I'm doing good, man. Like I was telling you, I got a leaky ceiling, but other than that, good. The weather's getting warmer. Plenty of winter anime still coming out. So, I mean, we got the pick of the litter over here with these anime. So, I am so excited to get started talking about some of this. How have you been?
Been great. Been pretty great. Yesterday, it was just me at the house. My wife was out having a little girl's weekend. So, I know she had a good time. She's about to be home here soon. Malachi was at his grandma's, so I had the house myself. And let me tell you, man, I woke up around 9:30. Me, Ohio, LSB Live, jumped on at 10. Later on, It's the Nine Ball joined us. And then later on, Silent had joined us. And we got in 12 hours of Final Fantasy 14, man. It was great fun stuff. Great fun
Jeez. Stuff. That game, like I've said in the past, I'm taking a little break from it, but when you do play that game, it sucks you in. Mm-hmm. Like, especially the fact that it's an MMO and you get to play with your friends, it sucks you in, and you can easily play that game for 12 hours straight.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yep. And that's exactly what happened. We were just kind of helping them through it, helping them through the ropes. And yeah, we had a great time with it. Then we had a very heated, of course, professional anime video game and game discussion afterwards, because we meant to be done by 10:30. Was actually meant to be done way before that, but meant to be by, mm-hmm. done by 10:30. I didn't get off the chat with them until 1 a.m. So, yeah, definitely some good conversations there. Yeah, and over the weekend I actually got finished with The Day I Became a God. That was an anime that I recently Ooh. Watched. Yeah, that was definitely is going to be one season. I don't think there's going to be a sequel or anything like that. But that was an interesting take. I guess that can be considered as a hidden gem, because I did enjoy it. It was something that always had me bringing back to it. But it was nothing that made me be like, okay, this is absolutely amazing. How come people aren't talking about this? How come people aren't playing about that? Yeah, talk about it and watching it. We actually have another hidden gem at the end that we want to talk about. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was actually going to say, like, how is it? Because, like, that's actually been one of the shows I've been really kind of like interested in, because like there's some shows where I'm just kind of like hesitant. I'm just like, do I want to watch this? Like, I have so many other things on my list that like I want to get to. Mm-hmm. But like that's one of the things I want to watch. Like that, along with like March Comes in Like a Lion, Fruits Basket. Like those are like some other series I've been really interested in looking into. But I'm kind of curious. Like, what are your thoughts on The Day I Became a God?
Well, I'd watch it. That's my feedback. I'd watch it. It's
okay. Yeah. All right. You know what? I'll check it out, and we can discuss it on another podcast.
Yeah. Now, is it something that you want to prioritize? Probably not. But it is a nice little slice of life type scenario with an interesting twist in there. And yeah, it is something that does tug at the heartstrings, just like most slice of life type movies do and series do. Because I'm telling you, man, Silent Voice, that tugged at my heartstrings big time. And this reminds me of that very similarly, not to the same degree, but yeah.
I mean yeah, like you and I were talking about this a little bit ago. Like I actually just watched the first season of Domestic Girlfriend, and that tugged at my heartstrings. Like, it really did. I've been reading the manga too, so manga's even better. I hate to be that guy, but the manga's even better. Like at parts of the anime, you're just kind of like, oh, that doesn't really make sense, but I'll go with it.
Yeah.
And every time you say, oh, that doesn't make sense, I'll go with it, there's actually like a story arc that goes there that explains everything. You're like, oh, okay, well, this just makes sense. But yeah, no, I was curious to see what your opinion on that was, because again, that's one that's been sitting in my queue. And I don't know about anybody else, but like anytime I see a series that I really like, I'm just like, I just add it to my queue, so that way like I don't forget about it.
Right.
And then my queue ends up looking like the entire list.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I got to get a little bit more picky. But there's just so many.
Yeah.
There's so many anime, not enough time in the day.
and that actually is a good. All right. So to tell you where I would place this on my like top 100 animes.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, if it's something that I have an interest of going back and rewatching again, I would keep it on my queue. The Day I Became a Guy, okay, I did remove it from my queue. Now, does it say that's not good enough to go back and watch it again? No. But I know that I don't want to have that huge backlog of animes, especially if I've already seen it. I got the closure I needed. We're good
right
to go. There's not going to be another series for it. I'm very confident.
It's kind of like a one and done. That's how I felt about Guilty Crown. When I watched that, I watched it all the way through. I mean, it's been years since I've watched it, but it was just one of those like, all right, like I'm done with it. It's cool. Like I watched it all. I don't need to go back to it.
There you have it. Definitely want to give a shout out to Little Tofu 92. I know I gave you a shout out this past Friday for the follow. Same thing for I Am the Man. Thank you very much again for the follow previously. We had some technical difficulties with the internet connections this past Friday when we were trying to do the Nintendo Direct overview and the PlayStation State of Play overview, talk about the games there. But I just want to make sure that those shout-outs were definitely given. Sweating Llama, as you were trying to help us by hosting your our channel on your page, we appreciate you. I don't know how good the quality was. I don't think it was that great. But it looks like the quality today is much better, as I am in all green today. So good stuff there. Definitely want to give you guys a reminder. Anyone that's following us on Twitch, that's www.twitch.tv/ALWTGaming. If you guys are following us only, you guys get an entry into a $50 gift card that we're going to pick the winner up this coming Tuesday. So if you guys are following us, make sure you guys be on the lookout for our episode this coming Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we're going to announce the winner. If you're a sub to us, you get an additional 2 entries. So that way you get a total of 3 entries there. And I mean, it won't happen. Well, this Tuesday is going to, when we do the code word, that's going to be the code word for March. But if you are live watching us on the code word and type it in during the chat or within 24 hours of that time period, so 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by Wednesday, then and you just email us or DM us the code word from the previous show, you will actually get an additional 2 entries to be entered in. And that's a code word entry can be done every single episode that we do for All Things Gaming. So be on the lookout for that. So that's just if you want to try to win a $50 gift card. Reminders out there, this coming Tuesday, games that's coming out is Maquette, Farpoint, Remnant from the Ashes, and Final Fantasy VII Remake on PlayStation Plus this coming Tuesday. So if you guys haven't yet,
so
well, it's well, here's the thing, bittersweet because bittersweet, and I say that because
it's bittersweet is what it is.
If you bought the game, if you bought the game, you get the PS5 upgrade for free. If you
bought the game,
if you have Plus. If it's PlayStation Plus,
have Plus.
Yeah, you don't get it for free. The jury is still out real fast. Hold on, let me mute this. But the jury is still out there to see if, because at the state of play that they did this past Thursday, they announced another chapter is coming to, like a DLC chapter is coming to Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's introducing Yuffie, which is very bizarre because in the original Yuffie was not in the game at this point, so I'm very excited to see. This is going to be all brand new content. Nothing of this would be canon towards the original. So
and I like that they're doing that. I really like that they're doing that because like it, because like and we've talked about this before. Like my biggest example of this is Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, where basically any Dragon Ball game is the exact same story. It's always told the exact same way. Even if it's like a little different, like it's still the same story. You know what's gonna happen, and it all honesty kind of gets boring. But what I love with this remake is that it's not like it's not a redo, it's not a revamp, it's a remake. They're it's still for the most part the same story, but they're changing it up. They're rewriting the story in a brand new way that just feels really good. Like it feels really good, and I'm really interested to see what they're gonna do with it.
Yeah, I'm there with you, man. And I was scared at first. I'm not gonna lie to you there. I was very pessimistic, and then now they made me into a full on believer. And I say that because I'm a huge hardcore fan of the original. Like anyone, I mean, maybe Ohio's watching this now. I know he kind of chimed in a little bit when I made a comment about Sony yesterday. In his eyes, I'm a Sony pony. All right. I would have to say, if it came to Final Fantasy, period, if it came to Final Fantasy and Sony, I'm choosing Final Fantasy every time because that's the game that made me a gamer. So if Final Fantasy went to Nintendo, Final Fantasy went to Xbox, Fantasy went to only PC, I would leave Sony. Like if that's the only games I can get is those areas, I would leave Sony and go to X, Y, and Z because I'm a Final Fantasy fan, period.
Square Enix in general, at least for me, honestly, like I love Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts, especially. I love Kingdom Hearts. And like I actually bought like the new 3DS, like when it came out, I actually pre-ordered it because I was getting the 3DS game, like Dream Drop Distance. Like I went to buy that game. They're like, hey, like, do you want to buy this 3D, like this 3DS, or do you want to pre-order the new XL one that's coming out in 2 months? And I was like, you mean it's bigger? I can, like, I don't have to like squint to like see what's going on. I can see it on a bigger screen. He's like, yeah, like done. I will wait. Like at the very least, that's kind of how I feel. I'm kind of with you. I like the way you put it. You go where the games are.
Exactly. 100%.
And all the games are just happen to be going to
on PlayStation. PlayStation. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. So
it is your PlayStation. Come on.
But be on the lookout. But be on the lookout for that. Make sure you guys are tuning into that. Like I said before, the jury's still out to see if that Yuffie DLC is free for PlayStation, because it's a PlayStation 5 exclusive. So I wonder if that's going to be free for PlayStation 5 owners, or if that's something that you have to buy into. I don't mind either way. But since it's a PS5 exclusive, it makes you wonder, is Final Fantasy Remake Part 2 going to be PlayStation 5 only? You know what I mean? Since they're doing that, that's kind of what the jury's out right now. That's part of the conversation me, Silent, LSB Live, and Nineball had a conversation about last night about. But yeah, so jury's still out for that.
Yeah, jury's still out, but we can talk more about that on Tuesday. We have our All Things Gaming segments, but first things first, how have you been liking Black Clover lately? Because like now they're at the point where, because I wanted to kind of bring this up, because like I'm, in terms of the anime, I'm a little behind on it. In terms of the manga, I'm up to date, except for the new chapter that just came out today, but that I gotta catch up on. But But like, how are you feeling with the story of Black Clover now that it's actually getting back to some more canon material?
So now, and that's the thing. Now that it's getting back to canon, now that it is back to canon material, I feel like I've started over. And I say that because you gave me 2 months worth of filler. That just killed the motivation for me to be on top of it. And then now you're giving me canon stuff. But then the canon stuff that you're giving me is just them training. That's practically what it is now. And then now they're inside the point to where the battle's actually picking up. Now it's back to getting good, but it's just like it can't be a top 10 anime for me anymore. It can't be. Yeah.
Oh, it hurt. It hit that hard for you.
Yeah, it really did. It was in the top 10. It wasn't in the top 5, but it was in the top 10. It's not in the top 10 for me anymore because that roller coaster of filler, canon. Filler, like that's what hit me. And it's just like, it's not going to be that itching to where it's just like, oh, I can't wait till Tuesday for it to come out. I can't wait for Tuesday. Now it's just like, oh, you know what? Today's Saturday. I got nothing to do. I'm a little bit behind on Black Clover. Let me go ahead and watch these 3 episodes I missed. That's what it's at right now. So it's just like I'm casually watching it versus actually binging it and staying on top of it like I used to. So, yeah. But ultimately, though, I think, because I always say this, freaking Yami, his role inside Black Clover has been impeccable. And that's exactly what keeps bringing me back to where, like, okay, this is not just an okay anime. This is actually a great anime. It's because of Yami, to be honest with you. Yami and Luck. He fights. He's fighting right now. And by the way, as always, spoilers. If you have not seen it, plan on seeing it, come back to this episode after.
Spoiler warning.
Yep.
Spoiler warning.
Come back.
Can't stress this enough. I don't want you coming in here. Be like, oh my goodness, you guys ruined it for me. Come back and watch it with us.
Yeah.
But anyway, Yami.
Yami, man. Yami's legit, and he was taking on that demon, and he had to end up pushing that demon to, was it 50% or was it 60?
Oh.
He pushed them to a certain degree. I can't remember what it was, but it was definitely to a certain degree.
It was at least 50. If I remember from what I've read so far in the manga, it's at least 50%. I think they might have pushed him a little bit farther. But, I know exactly which part you're talking about. I've been kind of feeling the same way. Like I said, I'm behind on the anime right now just because of that filler. And you and I have talked about this before, where it really is just because the anime was catching up to the manga. Where if you look at My Hero has so much more material in the manga that's like they have like an entire season and a half worth of material that the anime hasn't even touched yet.
Yeah.
That the animators are actually already doing, and they're going to get that out this year, hopefully, you know, COVID and everything, but. They have so much more material because they've been pacing themselves out as like kind of like just doing chunks of it, whereas Black Clover's been doing it weekly. And while that's nice, but like you get to that point where you have to get that filler, and I understand what you're saying. Like you kind of feel like you're starting over. Yeah, you got to get that momentum back up. But Yami coming in here, that's definitely it's definitely a good spot to be coming back into.
Yeah,
because. The Spade Kingdom is absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Like, you thought the Diamond Kingdom was nuts? Uh-uh. You thought the Hearts Kingdom and their weird, quirky, like, magic was weird? Uh-uh. Like, the Spade Kingdom is just... It is dark. It is gruesome. They don't care. They want to conquer everything. They want it all. They want the whole pot.
Yeah.
And Yami like pushing somebody who has this demon control up to 50%. That's crazy. And here's the thing. Asta hasn't done that.
Yeah.
Like Asta, like he has his black form, but like he doesn't like announce that it's like a percentage of anything. It's just more so like cloaking himself in like anti-magic.
Now, to be fair, that is very, again, for anyone that hasn't seen Black Clover or don't care to see Black Clover, this is practically Naruto. So
pretty much.
So when he's having that, because like when you see Naruto go inside his nine tail form, it's not explained. He's just raging. So that's kind of exactly what's going on right now with Asta, to where he's raging. You see him going in his black form, but when you find out more about the demons itself, that they say, I haven't been able to control this percentage and stuff like that, Asta doesn't know what percentage she's at. So, again, same exact thing pretty much as Naruto goes, so it's not really too off the money, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like it. Yeah, like the Spade Kingdom is really raising the bar this season with this newest arc. They're really raising the bar in terms of how crazy stuff is getting, because like when you look at the last last story arc with the elves themselves were incredibly powerful, but you even look at like the demon that Licht became, and you're like, geez, like that's crazy. Mm. And it gets more nuts from there. And Yami, even against that devil last season, Yami like still put up a good fight. Like Yami created the opening for them to make that final blow against that demon.
Yeah.
Because of his dimensions. Because he can cut through dimensions.
Yeah.
Like let's just like take that for a second. He can cut through dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Like what does that even mean? Like, it's not just cutting the air. It's not just cutting, like, it is cutting reality itself. Like, it's nuts. And now he's coming in here and he's pushing this guy back. Like, and he's only pushing him to 50%?
Mm.
Like that, it's gonna get really nuts, man.
I agree, man.
So, but with this arc, because I know what happens. I'll say that I know what happens, but For the sake of my curiosity, do you think that Yami and Asta are going to come out of this victorious? Or do you think that Yami's going to get captured?
I personally think that Yami... So this is what I have... This is my prediction on that, to be honest with you. I don't think Yami's going to get...
Let's hear it.
I don't think Yami's going to get, like, beat, per se. But I think something's going to happen to where the only thing he can do is either allow one of his comrades to die or him to willingly go with the demon. That's mm-hmm. what I think is going to happen. And it's almost like a hostage situation, a little trade-off. Now, again, I could be wrong, but that's my prediction. And I think, at that point, that might be something to where Asta has to realize to get stronger and stuff like that to go and not really rescue Yami, but kind of support Yami.
Mm-hmm.
Push him past the limits.
And that's also another thing about the series, is just pushing yourself past your limits. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, whether or not he's actually able to, whether they're able to beat him, whether maybe that guy like pulls some dirty tricks, mm-hmm. and he's like, All right, I'm going. Because that is kind of in Yami's character. Like, it's absolutely in Yami's character to be like, all right, fine, you got me. Like, and the thing is that Yami doesn't give up, but if his platoon, like, his people are, get, like, if the Black Bulls are in trouble, he's going to put them first.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a really good theory. We'll see what happens. I would assume that the fight's probably going to come to an end maybe within the next episode or two, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm remembering the material correctly. So it should be, we'll be getting our answer within the next week or two. So we'll see what happens. Do you think that Asa's going to control his demon ability at all? Because like that's kind of where they're going, it looks like.
Because I like that you made that
connection with Naruto. Because that is kind of the route that Naruto ends up going down. Do you think they're gonna kind of mimic that with Black Clover and Asta, or do you think that they're gonna maybe do something different?
No, I think I 100% think that he's gonna control it. Maybe even become friends with his demon and stuff like that, like just like how Naruto does with his Shinshoryuki or whatever. But my question to you is, when do you think that will happen?
That's hard to say. like I said, I'm fully caught up on the manga, so I hope it doesn't happen too soon. You know, I hope it doesn't happen too soon. I hope that it's I hope it doesn't happen too soon, and I hope they don't rush it, because sometimes in certain anime, like, they just have a really bad habit of just like forcing transformations on the characters. Mm. And as much as we all love transformations, you gotta let it simmer. You gotta let it sit. You gotta let it rest. And I will say, like, something that I do really appreciate about the anime versus the manga is that the anime does a really good job letting the story breathe. Like, it lets it breathe. It just kind of airs it out a little bit more. And it's probably just because, you know, reading it versus actually watching it and experiencing it and hearing the sounds and the music. But I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but, you know, if it does, you know, I really hope that it does. I hope they don't rush it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope they kind of like keep it for later. So that way it's more of it's kind of like a dramatic entrance, you know? Kind of like Asta, like after his training, because Asta just went through a training arc. Mm. Like they just went through a training arc where Asta got shredded.
Yeah,
he got some gains over this training arc. So it's like, if they do go down that route, that would be, first of all, that'd be really cool, because we're actually seeing that kind of precedent with some of these other characters. So we'll probably see that from Asta, but you know, I don't want it to be kind of like, man, Asta's big and buff now. Now he's getting another transformation. And they just start stacking stuff on top of each other. Because eventually it's going to feel like, okay, like, you're giving him too much too soon. Like, let him work for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, kind of in that same vein, speaking of working for it and training all the good stuff, we already had the Black Bulls that were training with the Heart Kingdoms. Then they got infiltrated. Then they got attacked. We saw that Luck was able to take his out after really, really pressing and pushing. We saw that, I can't remember his name. It's Leo's little brother. Actually, I think his name is Leo, but he ends up being able to take on, his challenge. We saw, one of the Guardians take out his challenge. We saw Lala take out her challenge and stuff like that. Now we have Noelle and her cousin and the queen that's in there, and the big mm-hmm. one of the big three is there, and they're coming in and they're pretty much killing everything. And then everyone that came across their challenges, everyone came back to life. Every single one of them came back to life, and they're now going for round two. So, my question to you then, Noelle, her cousin, the queen, are they going to beat that demon this round? Like, this go-around, this whole bout? I'm not saying next episode, but I'm just saying this whole time period while they're fighting, are they going to beat that demon lord? Or is she going to beat them, and then something happens, and then she goes off with her two brothers or whatever? Like, what's going to happen?
That is tough to say, because again, I do know the answer to that question.
Oh, you do?
Because I do know what happens.
Okay.
So at that point, I don't want to spoil that for anybody. I don't want to be Mr. Manga spoiler for everybody. That's just not fun. No one likes that. No one likes the manga, Mr. Manga spoiler. You can read the manga. That's okay. You can say the manga's better. That's your opinion. Just don't be that jerk that spoils it and ruins it for everyone else. But with that said, I got to tippy toe around it and give my best prediction of what happens. I definitely think that they're going to come out of this with the new perspective, where with whatever happens, they're going to come out of it with the new perspective. But the thing that I find interesting is that this is the demon that actually cursed the Queen of Hearts, like the Queen of the Hearts Kingdom, Lolopecia. I don't know.
It's like Kotapika, but not really.
Yeah, like when you start throwing CHs in there, I'm like, is it? I don't know.
English is my first language. I really should know this. But I definitely think they're definitely going to come out of this changed. I think they're going to come out of this with a new perspective on things. And I'm really interested to see how the anime does this matchup, because I will say this matchup gets nuts. Like, it's, I will say, like, every time I read a chapter, I'm always like, I always drop my phone going, oh my God, that was nuts. Like, I pace around my room going, oh my God, that was nuts. I can't believe that just happened. Like, what's going to happen next week? I got to wait a whole week for this. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm actually going to be able to see it in the anime, I'm like, oh, that's going to be good. Because it's a good fight. I will say that. It is a good fight. They come out guns a-blazing. It's guns a-blazing, no holding back. It is just, it's going to be good. And I hope the anime does it justice. I hope the anime really allows that fight to breathe. Because I've seen a couple screenshots, I think, of some of the more recent fights. So, like, it looks like it's going to be really good. So I definitely think that it's going to be good. And I hope the anime does the fight justice. But since you haven't seen it, what do you think? Do you think that they're going to come out on top? Do you think that the Spade Kingdom demon is going to come out victorious? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
This one is one I'm not really too sure about, because they already are fighting. They do see Noelle kind of go into her mermaid form, and she's fighting even in that. Then you see the demon keep increasing her percentage as the fight's going on. As far as a overall victor, I think they're able to push the demon back barely, but I think the demon is going to be able to regroup with her brothers at some point and be okay.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, like, if you have to look at it from like a story writing perspective, like, how do you think that they're gonna have this come out? Because they already have these members of the Spade Kingdom absolutely whooping people. Like, they're splitting up and they're just going around and they're just throwing hands and they're not holding back. Well, I guess they technically are, since they're not going 100%. But the thing is that I'll say this. I don't think I've seen them go 100%. I don't think they've gone 100% yet. Again, I've read the manga. I know a lot, so I don't want to spoil too much. But I'm curious to even see, like, in the event that they do go 100%, are they going to be in control of that?
Well,
is that something?
I was about to say, I think that they might lose control. Maybe that's part of the reason why they don't go full 100% all the time, whatever. But I also think right now, this is kind of going in a writing perspective, the only people that we see that's fighting right now are the Black Bulls and the Spade Kingdom. That is it. Maybe some of the Heart Kingdom here and there, but that is it. So as far as a conclusion to this, I think that the Silver Eagles are going to be coming in. I think that the Roaring Dawn, or whatever they're called, is going to be coming in.
The Golden Dawn?
Golden Dawn, yeah. I think that they're going to be coming in. I think that Fuegoleon's team is going to be coming in and assisting and kind of being that last minute, like, oh my God, I'm about to die. No, I'm here type scenario. That's what I think is going to happen. So I think that's the only way they're going to come out of this, is because of the rest of the Clover Kingdom coming to back them up.
Man, because I already know what happens, I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. I love asking you these questions, because I'm like, what's going to happen? like, what's going to do it? But, I mean, other than that, like, I also love just being able to just experience things for the first time, too, which is exactly why there are other series that I haven't read the manga for. Like Attack on Titan.
Yep, yep.
It's one that I'm trying to be very pure to the anime with this, because the anime has not done me dirty yet, except for the time between season one and two, but we won't talk about that. four years!
Season two, three to four?
One to two was 4 years. Because they went and did that junior high anime, and then they made a movie that was basically just the whole first season.
Yeah.
And and they were really just trying to push the merch for it. I don't know if like sales for it like weren't great, like for all the merchandise, and maybe like that's why they were trying to like wait to like try to recoup some of that money before they started a second season. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But like with Attack on Titan though, it's getting good, man.
Yeah.
It's getting real good.
Yeah. So let me ask you that then, since we're on the topic of Attack on Titan. So, and again, everything for it moving forward, by the way, any animes that we're going to label, there's going to be spoilers on here because we're talking about most current events that had happened. Attack mm-hmm. on Titan, Gabby and Falco escaped from the scout regiment from Paradise. They mm-hmm. are out there in the woods. A girl finds them. Gabby's ready to kill her, and Falco's just like, no, we can't do this, or whatever, and then the girl offers refuge. They come to the farm and all that good stuff. Gabby and Falco, they get to the farm, only to find out, and they don't realize this, but they only to find out that is actually Sasha's parents, and that household. Sasha's dead at this point, and she was dead because she was killed by Gabby, who is now one of the main characters of this thing. What? All right. So my question for you on that. All right. So the interesting plot twist of having Gabby refuge is blase. Will this start persuading Gabby's perspective of the people at Paradise?
I think it will. I think it will. And I say that because that seems like the route that they're going. Because they've already kind of done that with Falco when Aaron and Reiner were having that conversation in the basement. Mm-hmm. And especially like with this most recent episode, I not counted the one today, but the split with this most last week's episode, you have Gabby kind of like coming into contact with all of these things that were connected to Sasha. And I love that they're doing that. And I'll say this, I didn't even notice that was Sasha's parents when I watched this episode. Like, the series does such a good job of not holding your hand, and it's just kind of feeding you the puzzle pieces yourself, and it is giving you to put them together, like, when you figure it out. Like, you knew immediately that was Sasha's parents, mm-hmm. and I had no, like, I didn't, I think Abs like said something like near the end of the episode, and I was like, "Oh, that was
yeah."
It puts the whole episode in a new perspective.
And one of the reasons, here's a few reasons why I knew off the bat. One, they've reshown Sasha's parents when they were visiting the grave, so that mm-hmm. was one. And then two, by the way they talk, y'all mm-hmm. reckon here all that.
That's all Sasha.
So, but yeah.
Yeah. And again, like I said, I love that they're doing this. I love that they're it's kind of like Sasha's it's like the ghost of Sasha is not leaving her alone.
Yeah.
But it's not like she's being haunted like Scrooge and like seeing all these spirits that are trying to like haunt her in a bad way. It's showing all of the good sides of Sasha.
Yeah,
because when she saw Sasha, like before she killed her, she saw Sasha's ugly side,
that's the thing. It wasn't even Sasha's ugly side. It was just somebody that she didn't realize killed one of her people. That's what she saw. And
yeah, like she saw a demon. She saw a monster.
Yeah,
and I like that they're having this almost kind of a this comparison with Falco and Gabby, in the sense that like Falco is actually like hearing out, like he actually heard it like from the main characters themselves.
Yep.
that are from two different worlds that already clashed and collided, and that you find out, oh shoot, the people on Paradise Island, like maybe they're not actually that bad.
Yep.
And maybe what we did was actually really terrible. And I think it's because he's already in that mindset of like where he's not super confident in himself. He like he wants to take over the Armored Titan, but like he's just like, oh, like, you know, like I'm not that strong, I'm not that smart. Like Gabby's probably gonna do it. So like he seems kind of like more, I guess you could say, just a little bit more emotional, a little bit more in touch with his sensitive side. And so he's able to empathize with people a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, oh, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. But Gabby has had so much of the Kool-Aid. She's drinking she's drank a whole gallons of that Kool-Aid.
Yep.
And she said, thank you more, please. Because she was so proud to be this warrior. She's so proud to be a candidate. She's so proud to want to be a Titan for the country of Marley. And she had, in a sense, like, she has this humility to her where she's like, oh, like, I'm an Eldian, but I can, you know, rise up to be, you know, a true Marley, and I can sacrifice myself and give myself for this country that takes me in, even though I am a monster.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, who told you you're a monster? The same people who took me in.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, like, she was a type that just believed everything mm-hmm. that the Marlians had told her about the people on Paradise. Everything. She didn't fact check anything. So that's why in this episode...
You can't.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You can't, because the minute you do fact check stuff, like, your dad's going to smack his hand on the table and say, the walls are listening.
Yeah. Well, even so...
They're always listening.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because that's what happened with Erwin and his dad. But it's just like... Mm-hmm. Like, the thing, though, is that you don't... And this just kind of goes in life in general. This is not going to be a life segment or whatever, but I'm just saying in general, you have, like, you hear stuff, you still want to, some stuff is just going to make sense and just easy to go with. There's going to be some stuff mm-hmm. that you want to question. Even if you don't verbally say it, you still want to think. You still want to question it, because what if those people are wrong? What if these people only experience one side of the story, just like the Marlians did, and just like what we went through for the first three seasons of The People on Paradise? So that's where Gabby's downfall was, because she was blinded by hatred because of what she was told. She believes that they were all demons. Now she's trapped on Paradise. Now she's being harbored by a girl and the people on the farm. The girl realizes that Falco and Gabby are actually from Marley. Like, she actually knew their identity. And... she still was just like, why did my mom have to suffer? She was crippled. Everyone left her. A Titan was eating her. She was screaming until she couldn't scream anymore. Dude, that was a sad scene. And Sasha's the one that saved her from that. And you killed Sasha, which this girl does not know right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Do you think she would have... I'll preface this by saying this. I don't think so. But do you think that had she known that she killed Sasha, would she have lost it on her?
Probably.
Do you think she would have lost it? Because I think she probably would have. But at the same time, she, like, even at the very end of that, like, she, they were like, was it Falco that apologized? Where he's like, hey, I'm really sorry. And she was like, why are you apologizing? Like, you were just like, you don't have to apologize for being a Marley, and like, you were just born there.
Exactly.
And she's flipping the whole script back on to Gabby, because Gabby is like, man, like, you were born in Eldian, like, you're a terrible person. It's just like, no, my mom was born here. Like, my mom had nothing to do with that. That's thousands of years ago.
Exactly.
That was over 1,000 years ago. That has nothing to do with me. That has nothing to do with my mom. And I love that Falco came out and he was like, hey, this, like, the reason why your mom had died was because because Marley initiated an attack. It was a strategic war tactic.
Yep.
And people ended up dying, and I'm sorry about that. And it's it's so good, because, like, they make so many comparisons, like, because, like, while this is fiction and while this is, like, a story about friggin' giants who eat people and people who can turn into said giants, like, it's there's so many connections and comparisons to real life world history and real life human psychology and the way that people think about stuff, where it's cognitive dissonance is what it is that Gabby is struggling right now with that cognitive dissonance, where she's being given new information. she's being given new information, and where Falco is able to process that information and say, oh,
yeah,
oh, that was wrong. Oh, wait, hold on a second. He's able to pivot a little quicker. Gabby drank so much of that Kool-Aid that now she's just like, wait, no, like that's, you're lying. Like you have to be lying, because if you're lying, then that means everybody that I trusted up until this point was lying. So does that mean like, who can I trust? Who can I trust? What can I believe? And it just tears people apart when that happens. And the thing that I just find absolutely hilarious is that nobody likes Gabby. She is such, like, I will say this, nobody likes Gabby. All of the memes about Gabby are absolutely hilarious. But at the same time, she's simultaneously like she became like probably one of the most hated characters in anime. And they're giving her kind of a redemption story. Mm-hmm. And I like that they're doing that. I like that they're giving her a chance to be a better person. Because far too often people don't do that. They don't let that, people give that people that chance.
Do you think before they head back, that they try to head back to Marley, that Gabby's going to see Sasha's tombstone?
I think so. I think she's going to see the tombstone. I think that they are really going to throw it in her face. Mm-hmm. Because they've already thrown Sasha's parents in her face.
Yeah.
They've already thrown the girl that Sasha has saved in front of her face. The next time they do stuff, I think that they're going to be talking, like they're going to be going to the guy who made her food and cooked for her.
That's probably like right now. That's what they're setting it up.
Yeah.
To be.
They probably had a romantic relationship, I would assume.
Yeah.
I would like to assume, but you know, if that's the case, it's like, man, like you're seeing you take one person out because you are so mad. And then after you do that, you're still mad, but then you see all of the people who were positively impacted by that person's existence.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wait, this person did good here. This person did good there. This person was really nice. They were quirky. They were funny. They were just a genuinely nice person. But being put into that circumstance of war completely changes. You have to make decisions that you wouldn't normally make.
Yep.
You have to make ethical decisions that you wouldn't normally make. And I like that they're tackling that. I really think that they're going to push this to its limit with Gabby, where I really think that they're going to really rub it in. I really think that they're going to really rub it in, and eventually it's going to culminate to maybe Sasha's friend who cooked for her, like taking Gabby to her grave. Because the one thing is that, like, they haven't said her name yet. They haven't said the name.
The people at the farm haven't said the name. And honestly, I'm not even sure if Gabby truly knows who Sasha is. But
she was on the boat and the airship, and they did say
it's
like, oh, she shot Gabby, or she shot Sasha.
Yeah, I was about to say now I wonder if that is something, because they haven't really. They haven't really panned to show that Gabby picked up on the name that they said it. Now, granted, they did say it on the ship. She was on the ship. Even when Connie came inside the room and they were tied up, he said Sasha's dead. And I wonder if they're going to kind of play that back. Because, like I said, they didn't capitalize that Gabby and Falco had heard the name. But I wonder if something comes up to maybe in this episode that came out today, maybe they might be like, I miss my girl Sasha, or maybe the Marleyan that they're about to go see the cook might realize them. He might recognize them, and he might even, I don't want to say out them, but he might even like, why are you guys here? And he might be the one that like realizes like you killed Sasha, and that's gonna be a whole
scenario, that's, man. That's what I was thinking too, because I was thinking like they could easily take her to Sasha's grave. And she could probably have this huge breakdown where she just gets stuck and she doesn't know what to do. And then maybe when the fighting starts back up, maybe she'll pick herself up and maybe she'll be better. Or it's that, you know, while she's there at Sasha's grave, Connie shows up and goes, first of all, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be locked up way over there. Second, you killed Sasha. And it could be that moment where Gabby actually might be at that breaking point where she's about to just freeze and doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what to believe. She doesn't know what her reality is anymore. Mm-hmm. But Connie, like, coming in there and being threatened by her and putting her back in that fight or flight mode might actually trigger her to just instinctively go back to the way she was, where she might leave to try to run back and meet up with the Marlians, which at this point we don't even know what they're. We do kind of know what they're planning, because they did kind of mention that at the end of the episode. But Zeke has been a really big player in this.
Yep,
Zeke has been a huge player in this. Like, they haven't been focusing on him too much, but like, this is all his plan. This is all his plan, and so far we don't really know what else is going to happen right now. Like, we already know that he wants to try to get the Founding Titan, you know, back into royal blood hands, so that way they can trigger the rumbling, which is just basically just releasing all of the Titans that are in the wall. Which I think it's only going to be Shiganshah, because they told the people of Shiganshah to evacuate. And only them. So I feel like instead of like releasing all of the Titans from all the walls, it's probably just going to be just those Titans from that little ring. But what are your thoughts on that? What do you think is going to be in store for Zeke's plan moving forward?
I have absolutely no idea. I have not the slightest idea, man, because ever since Zeke has been partnering up with Paradise, didn't see that coming. Then... Mm-mm. There's definitely obviously bad blood between Levi and Zeke. And I wonder if that's part of the reason why Zeke came up with his plan, because he realized that there's a human that can easily take out a Titan with intelligence. Because Zeke got ate up by Levi.
Levi's like turned his arm into ribbons.
Yeah. It was bad.
He ripped his arm.
Yeah, it was bad. And I wonder if that's part of the reason why he's just like, okay. There is somebody. Like, I think that his plan does include Levi. I think his plan does obviously betrayal of the Marlians. I have no idea what he's going to do, though. I have no idea. What about you?
I definitely think that his plan is going to. I would really like to think that we're going to see the rumbling happen. Because I think that would be absolutely something like a heck of a way, a banger way to end the series, is to have all of these colossal Titans just erupt from the wall, where like all of a sudden it's kind of like back in season one where like a piece of the wall crumbles off and you see like that bit of an eye, and all of a sudden just a colossal Titan just bursts through. What's going on, Janae?
Hey, y'all.
What's up?
Hey. Hey, y'all, buddy. Hey, Shelby.
Like, I think we're gonna see the rumbling happen. I really hope we do, because that is going to be absolutely spectacular. To any of those like who are butthurt about the CGI with the Titans, I'm sorry you feel that way, but Studio MAPPA's been doing a really good job with the CGI.
I don't know why anyone would have an issue with the CGI on that, because I think they're fine.
You know, honestly, I feel like people have just such a bad taste in their mouth from CGI in general that, like, when they see CGI just anywhere, they're just like, ugh, no, get it out of here. It's 3D and everything else is 2D. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, I mean, I think the anime is like X-Arm. Like, it's on Crunchyroll. That's like the big meme going on right now, is like X-Arm is just. Like, if you've ever seen like the animation for it, it looks terrible. I'm sorry, it looks terrible. It's CG. It's terrible. Sorry, not to poke fun at Berserk fans here, but like when Berserk went 3D, that didn't look very good. So I get it. I understand like people's hangups about CG, but like you gotta give it to them like when it's good. Like, you got to give it to them, like, where they're doing a decent job of it. Because, like, if you looked at the Colossal Titan at the end of Season 3, it was not very good. Sorry, like, it was okay, it just wasn't very good. They're doing a great job with this. And so I feel like we're definitely going to see some people, like, getting mad online about, like, all of the Titans that are going to erupt from the wall whenever the, you know, if and when the rumbling does happen. But I do think that Zeke's plan will go off without a hitch, but I don't think Zeke it's going to happen the way he wants, and I think Zeke is going to die. I think there's going to be a huge twist where I feel like his plan will probably happen, not the way he planned it, because I'm sure Aaron's going to just butt his head in there and be like, nope, we're doing it my way now. Because at this point, Aaron has three Titans.
Yeah.
He has three Titans. He has the memories of everyone who has and ever will be those three Titans. He has so much knowledge that it is insane. And I feel like all of that knowledge is driving him insane. So I definitely think that Zeke's plan leading up to it, it's going to go off without a hitch. But then something's going to happen near the very end where Zeke will probably die. And it's going to happen. Maybe it's going to happen, but not in the way Zeke planned it. What are your thoughts about this?
I have a question for you, because again, I have no idea what's going to happen as far as Zeke's plans go, but it seems like Reiner and the rest of the group might have a better idea of what he is anticipating. So they're trying to do their surprise attack now. They're trying to get, to get the ball rolling, even though that they just been attacked. They don't want to give Zeke enough time to prepare. So Reiner, it was an agreement to go ahead and push X, Y, and Z. Do you think that this fight, do you think that Reiner and the rest of the Marlians, do you think that they're going to push right now, like in this next episode, do you think they're going to push towards Paradise and attack? And how long do you think that'll be? Do you think that'll be stretched out to the point to where it's going to end the series? Do you think it's just going to be another small little segment and then possibly a part two of the final season or anything like that? Like, what are your thoughts about that?
I think it's going to be very similar to season three. I think that because like when you look at season three, it was part because like the first part of season one, they were kind of building up to the climactic events of the second part. So I think it's going to be more of a buildup, but at the same time, I know that the manga actually has, I think, like three more chapters left to publish. So the manga is not even done yet. And this is supposedly the final season. So, and you and I talked about this, where they're probably either going to do more than likely a part two to the anime, or they're going to do a movie. I hope they do a part two instead of a movie, but because there's so much that they really haven't touched yet. But I'm thinking that I'm hoping that they let the story breathe, you know, like, and you're going to hear me say that often. I love it when authors let the story breathe, let it happen organically, and they don't just kind of like push stuff and be like, okay, and then this happens.
Right.
Like I want them to kind of let it breathe, because I think in terms of like episode wise that they've at least announced is that like this part of the season is only going to be 12 episodes. So we're like, we have like how many episodes left? Like three, I think.
Let me take a look right now. I don't think it's far. I don't think it's very far.
We're coming close to the amount of episodes that they were greenlit for this season. So, you know, for them to cover all of that in three episodes, and the fact that the manga's not even done, the story's not even done yet, because it, from what I was seeing, it looks like the last chapter of the manga should be like coming around October of this year. So it's kind of like honestly, like we probably might not even see the end of the story animated until like maybe 2022, 2023. Honestly, probably closer to like this time, 2023.
I agree. I think that's what's going to happen. I'm going to count it out right now. So we have, all right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So according to this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, according to this, today's episode is going to be the last episode of it. It's going to be 12 episodes long. We're at 11 episodes right now. So yeah, there's no way. There's no way it's going to end.
There's no way. Like I do think it's going to be the last season, but I think it's going to be more of a part two situation, like they did last time. Yeah, because there's no way that they can fit all of that in there. I think that they're definitely gonna leave this off on a cliffhanger. And I definitely think that like it's gonna be Gabby coming to that realization that she was the one who killed somebody who brought joy and happiness to all of these people, and she's gonna have to make a decision. I definitely think that it's probably gonna like show Marley actually kind of like gearing up and maybe like sailing out to the island to get everything ready. And we might even see like Aaron probably like, because like you see that picture that keeps going around from the manga where it's Aaron with his slicked back hair and he's like putting on his jacket. I think that's how it's gonna end. I think we're gonna see Aaron back on the beach, back on like a little hill, like where the sun's coming up. And he's just putting on his jacket and he's like, "All right, let's go do this. Let's do this." Like, so do you want to come at me? Come at me.
So is this gonna be a scenario? Do you think it's gonna end to where it's like they have Paradise, Marlians, Aaron?
I think Aaron's definitely. I'll go out on a limb and say this. I think it's actually going to be Aaron and Reiner who are going to be the ones who are kind of like the outliers on this. Because because I think that while Aaron is going to be, you know, supporting Paradise, he's probably going to go off eventually and do his own thing. They're probably going to have a plan. Aaron's going to work with them. And then they're like, "All right, Aaron, like go that way." And he's like, "Nah, I'm gonna go that way." And I feel like Reiner's—it's the same thing's gonna happen with Reiner. And the thing I find interesting with Reiner is that when he suggested, he's like, "No, they're gonna expect us to wait 6 months. We need to hit them now," because he was brought up not just in the Marlian military, but he was trained in the military of Paradise.
Exactly.
He knows their military tactics. He knows these people on a very personal level. He knows what they're going to do. He knows that these people can be unpredictable. And so he's like, "We have to be unpredictable to beat the unpredictable."
Exactly.
And I feel like Marley is going to pull this unpredictable move, but I feel like Reiner is probably going to go and do something else unpredictable while he's there. Where like Aaron's probably going to be like, "Nah, I'm going to go over there," and then the Marlians are going to be like, "All right, cool, Reiner, like go in there now," and he's like, "No, Aaron's going that way. I'm going that way." Like we got round. Geez, what is this now? Round 400? How many times have they gone?
Yeah, it's been quite a bit.
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to butt heads. I definitely think that Marley's going to be trying to pull this unpredicted move, but Aaron and Reiner are going to be the wild cards of it. And I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with that.
Do you think that with their anticipated to only be one more episode left for this part, do you think that we're going to have another demise, or do you think that they're going to just end this first part out, still harboring Sasha's death, really fleshing that out, really making sure that Gabby feels every bit of it, maybe even have some influence with other characters that think about Sasha from time to time and all that? Do you think that they're going to really, really kind of harper on her death, since that's the first main character that we had that died?
I think so. Honestly, I think what you said with Connie is probably going to happen. I really think that like it's going to... with Sasha, it's going to build up to this point where she does go to Sasha's, or yeah, Gabby does go to Sasha's grave. And she, after meeting everybody who was positively impacted by her, and then she's going to be like, holy crap, what have I done? What have I done? Like, I thought she was a demon. I thought she was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and I silenced her. Yeah. She can't bring any of these people happiness anymore. What does that mean for what I've done? Because my country has always told me that what I did was the right thing. So was that the right thing? And I think that it's Connie's probably, as her mind is kind of breaking, Connie's going to probably come back in and be like, "What are you doing here? You did all this." And it's going to put her back into that fight or flight mode where she's going to have to choose, where she's going to be on the fence about it. And she's probably mentally and emotionally still going to be on the fence about it, but like, because because Connie's there, she's going to have to make a decision. She's going to have to choose right then and there. And I hope to God, and again, I know we've said this before, you know, if Connie ever died, I probably wouldn't be too sad about it. But if that happens, and he's just like, what are you doing here? And she turns around and pulls a gun and shoots him too. I'm going to be real mad. I'm going to be real mad. I'm going to be so upset. But then again, I already think that everyone's going to die. That has been my theory since day one. I have always thought that every single character is going to die in this. No one's going to be the winner. As crazy as it's going to get, that's what I think. But what are your thoughts?
I'm kind of on the same boat. I think that everybody, for the most part, may die. I think maybe Mikasa will live. I wouldn't be surprised if not everyone dies. I think Mikasa may live. Maybe even Levi will live. I think Falco will live. Gabby's probably going to die. I have a feeling that...
I don't know. Yeah. I think she might live.
I don't think so, man. I think if she lives, I think if she does live, she'll live with a new leaf turned. That's what I think will happen. I think ultimately Reiner's going to die. Aaron's going to die. Falco's going to be that pillar of peace. I still think that in some form of fashion, not exactly sure exactly how it'll go, but in some form of fashion, I think he'll be that pillar of peace still. And I think maybe something will happen to where, again, either Gabby dies or she ends up becoming to side with Falco because she knows Falco and loves Falco. I wouldn't say loves right now because who knows, but just in general, like, Falco's the one keeping her in check. He's the one that's saying, let's do this my way. We're not doing it your way anymore because your way is killing people. And here we are on this farm and they're treating us with respect. They're treating us with care and they know who we are. At least the girl does. You know, so mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, so we kind of have to see about that.
I got a question for you now, though, because I just thought of this.
Yeah.
In the event that the Connie thing does happen, where she hits that point where she's like, I don't know what's right or wrong anymore. She snapped into a decision where she has to choose because she's in that fight or flight mode where she ends up going back to Marley and supporting them. Do you think Falco is going to end up having to kill her? Where she's at, because the entire story is really like, is that Falco is like, I'm going to be the Armored Titan because I want you to live longer. I want you to be around. I want you to be happy and I want you to have a long, happy life. I don't want you to throw yourself into becoming this Titan and only having 13 years to live and living like someone, I mean, to quote FMA, a dog of the military. Like, I don't like, because like he's really protective of her. But if she's at that point where she's really hammering down, do you think that he's going to have to put her down and to be like, I have to protect you from yourself?
I don't. I think what will happen is that he will come. Like, she goes to Marley. He ends up siding with Paradise. The war breaks out. They start fighting. She gets a Titan. He somehow gets a Titan. And he has that opportunity to kill her. But he doesn't because he cares about her. She kills him. And he's the one that's, like, embracing her. And that will be the thing to where both sides see that, hey, this person is Marleyan supporting Paradise. This person is a Marleyan or Eldian supporting Marley. Now they just had this conflict happen. Somehow that's going to open up some people's eyes on both sides. Not everyone, probably most people. And then at that point, they can start mending together the piece or whatever the case is like that. That's how I think that whole scenario will go. I don't think Falco will be the one to kill her. I think that will be his intent. But then when the job is ready to be done, he can't go through with it because it's Gabby. And, you know,
yeah, what I mean? It's probably going to be more likely.
Yeah. Well, we'll see because Attack on Titan is not predictable.
it's so unpredictable. Like any predictions you have, Attack on Titan's just like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So switching gears a little bit, kind of still inside the Attack on Titan-esque vein, but different. Promised Neverland. Remember, we only got a little bit of time. I'm actually going to cut it exactly at 1:30 because I have a wedding to attend to online. Yeah. One of my boys getting married. So Promised Neverland, if you guys are not caught up, 2 episodes ago, you saw that Norman is still alive. the last episode we saw, you see Norman is back, but his intellect is different. His mindset is different. Is he really back?
I think he is, but I think he's been pushed to a new limit. I think that it's, we're seeing a role reversal between him and Ray, because Ray was the one who was super scared of the demons and was like, no, we gotta like screw everyone else. Like, let's just take us three. We're the smartest people. We can make it. We're already athletic. We're really smart. Why do we got to worry about these people? These guys hang like slowing us down. And it was Emma and Norman who convinced him and showed him that they could go down a different path that was better, that wasn't where you didn't have to be scared. But now we're seeing that Norman, because he was kind of taken, and he was taken to like an experimental camp where the demons experiment on humans. And so that kind of also brings up the question, it brings up the fact that they don't eat every single human. They don't eat every single human. But what is that camp for? What are they doing to these people? Because you already see that one of the characters, and I absolutely love this because I laugh every time I see it. He has a paper bag on his head with little holes cut out in it. I love it. I love seeing that goofy stuff. But one of the characters also has like stitches like all through his head, as if he's had his head opened up and stitched back together. And you find out that these people who escaped this camp have seizures. They have uncontrollable seizures that they have to take like just in a random assortment of pills to
fix, a little like some candy and stuff. It looked really weird.
Yeah, like it wasn't like none of that stuff looked the same. Like it looked like they just rummaged through like someone's like medicine cabinet. And we're like, I'm gonna take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'm gonna die from all of that. But it's apparently gonna fix your seizures. And we see, I definitely think that we're seeing a role reversal, because even at the end of the episode, Emma, Ray, and the other two. I can't remember, Don and Gilda, they all go out to find the demons that took them in the forest, because apparently the girl, the female demon, her blood can actually turn the demons into more of a humanoid form and keep them that way without them having to eat humans. Because we also find out they have to eat people, like they have to eat humans in order to like sustain that level of intelligence in that humanoid form, which it gives the demons a more sympathetic viewpoint. But in terms of like whether he's back, I don't think he's back, especially with the way that they ended this last episode. But like, what did you think of the last part though? Because that was for me, that was what kind of like put me more towards like he's back. He's not back. He's changed.
And that's what I'm saying, is that that's what it is for me. It's almost like how in the Final Fantasy VII term, Cloud was when he fell inside the life stream. This is a spoiler, but not really a spoiler. It's from the original. But he fell inside the live stream. They got him out, but he wasn't the same period. He was in a wheelchair and stuff like that. He couldn't really comprehend what was fully going on. Like, he literally seemed to be completely mute and everything, out of it, looked drugged up. I think Norman is back, but corrupted. And, I'm not even sure that's even really Norman anymore, because, like, I think he still does care for Emma and Ray. He still does care for them. He cares about the kids. He cares about humankind. I think, though, that his deception is a little more. And I say that because at the end of the episode, the people that he ended up allying with, they're like, I see that they're good kids, but please say that you're with us. Like, are you going to go through with their plan or whatever? He's like, of course not. Like, he just deceived his childhood friend. Well, I mean, he's a child, but still, it's like, he just deceived his friends that he holds dear. He's just like, no, like, I have no intentions on negotiating with Emma's reasonings or whatever. Like, if I see this demon, I mean, she's dead. I'm killing her. And then you see the demon that, you saw what they did to one of the bigger demons. You saw exactly what they did to that. And it was just like, they're more than capable of killing them. They're more than capable of killing them now. So it's just like, who is this Norman? Like, yes, it's Norman, but who is this? Do you know, who do you think it is that he saw when he was leaving, like, as he's being escorted from the farm, and right when we all was, like, kind of painted the picture that Norman probably is dead, who do you think we saw at the end of that?
I have a really strong suspicion it was a very high-ranking demon. Because the one thing... I think so. Because, like, the one thing that, like, all of these characters that escaped the camp tend to really hold in common is that they all just are disgusted with demons. They hate them with a burning passion. And it very well could be because they were, you know, they were tortured and they were experimented on. But they all have this very deep hatred of demons. And I feel like it goes deeper than just being experimented on, especially with Norman. I think that Grace was introducing him to a very high ranking demon that revealed a lot of information to him. Mm-hmm. I think that he's basically going to, you know, come in, he's going to explain to Norman, like, hey, you know, what's up? Your brain's probably absolutely delicious, but we're not gonna eat you. We're gonna do some experiments on you. We're gonna mess around with your brain. We're gonna see if we might be able to figure out why your brain is so special the way it is. And we're gonna try to figure out if we can, you know, raise humans that way. Mm. I think it's a high-ranking demon.
It's not.
Ooh, what is your theory on this? Like, is it another human?
No, I think it's that William guy.
Minerva?
Yeah. I know that Norman said that he's dead, but maybe he wanted to meet another alias. Maybe Norman's lying. You know what I mean? At this point, she showed that he's not trustworthy, at least for the viewers. Emma and Ray don't realize that. I think it was William.
What if, and I'm going to throw this theory out there, I know the manga's done, I don't know, I haven't read the manga fully, I don't know what's going on with it, but theory here, what, because, like, we already know that when demons eat humans, they become more humanoid. Mm-hmm. What if the same is vice versa? What if he's saying that Minerva, because he does say to the group, Minerva's gone, like, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, he's not here anymore. What if that is Minerva? And what if he's saying Minerva's gone because that's no longer Minerva? They experimented on these kids to try to maybe turn them into demons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that might be the result. Like, Minerva, maybe he ate some demons and maybe he became a demon.
I wouldn't. I mean, now that is a little bit of a stretch, but I still wouldn't
put it past stretch.
That. Yeah, I still wouldn't put it past that. I can see that happening. Yeah, I mean,
well, you can already see M. Night Shyamalan just poking his head through the door. Just, sounds like a pretty interesting twist there.
Now, you did mention, and we might not be able to get to the last story, which is that time we got reincarnated as a slime just because we got 13 minutes left. But I do want to save that for next week for sure, especially with what's going to look like for Rimuru and his staff this week. But back to the Norman question, to where it looks like, again, they've been experimented on. Do you think that him and the rest of his comrades, do you think that they're on a timer? Do you think that they're going to end up dying if they don't get, like, some sort of treatment?
100%. I think that, honestly, like, part of me actually feels like the reason Norman isn't himself is because he knows he's on a timer. Because he straight up lied to them.
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh, they didn't experiment on me. Like, they just had me do some tests and we all escaped before they could experiment on me. But you find out at the very last scene he starts to get a headache, and he starts to cough up blood. Yeah. Like, and it's a lot of blood. It's not like a couple speckles. It's like, it's a whole handful of blood.
Yeah.
And so I think Norman knows he's on a timer. And I think that he is so desperate to create this safe space for his family, because he's like, I can't afford to just wait for the demons to change their minds. I can't just allow that, because by the time that we make any sort of progress, we may or may not make any sort of progress, I'm going to be dead. I can't help you.
Right.
And I want to help you.
Right.
And this is the only way that I know how. We have to get this done now, because if we don't get it done now, I'm going to die and I can't help you. And so I think they definitely are on a timer, and I think Norman knows that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think, and last question for that. For Promise Neverland, when I mean that, Grace, we haven't seen her for a minute now. We know she's out there in the field. When is she going to make her debut? When are we going to see her kind of get the kids again? And what method do you think that's going to be? Like, how is that going to look like? Is she going to take Norman, use him hostage? Like, what do you think is going to happen to where? Because at this point, I think the way it's kind of panning out, the way that's kind of written, I wouldn't be surprised if Norman is the one that's captured, and Grace knows what they did to Norman, and she is kind of being conniving, kind of being deceitful, maybe even none of those things, but she's able to pose a trap that involves Norman against his will. What do you think is going to happen there?
I definitely think so. I had a theory a while ago, and I still, at this point, I'm not quite sure. I'm still on the fence about this. I don't know if it's still going to go that way, but I had a suspicion that the only reason Norman was there was because Grace sent him there. That I'm thinking that maybe the one who let them out was Grace. It very well could be that Grace pulled some strings and was like, yeah, just let these guys go. Like, let them go, because they're going to die eventually anyway. They're not going to cause too much trouble. We're going to get these kids back. We're going to reel them back in. We're going to get you some good meat, and we're going to patch this up. We're going to fix it. But with that said, I feel like if that's not the case, and Norman and all those other people did escape through other means, I think that he is going to run into Grace again at some point, because at this point we already know the whole point of the story at this point is that they have to go back to the farm that they were raised on, because ironically that was the entrance to the human realm. Yeah, the human world. So it's like they have to go back now, and because they were already going to go back, but now they have to go back to go through that door to get to the world of humans. And so because Norman is on a timer and he knows he's on a timer, he might be approached by Grace and say, hey, I can get these guys out of here. All you have to do is just have them come back to the farm and I'll let them go. Because that could be easily misinterpreted, because she could easily just be like, yeah, just get him back into the farm and then I'm never going to let them go ever again. Or it could be that Grace might actually want them to get out. Maybe Grace is actually like, yeah, come on back in and then I'll help you. But this is another one of those things that I really don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. Like, I do feel like Grace is maybe going to try to, Grace understands that Norman's on a timer and will try to force him into making a rash decision. But other than that, I have no clue. What do you think that Grace is just going to kind of sit at the farm and just kind of let them come to her, or do you think she's going to maybe send a messenger, or do you think she's going to personally leave?
Oh,
and actually try to track them down herself?
I think 100% she's going to personally leave and track them down and maybe even get them all. My hope is that she comes to now realization, because she realizes what she's doing, but I think she kind of maybe gets an epiphany, maybe something happens to where she's just like, you know what, enough is enough. Let's go ahead and get these kids to safety. She'll die in the process because of what's implanted in her neck. So she would die. But I wonder if that's something that's going to end up eventually happening. Because I think she does, like, she's kind of doing what she's doing because of her own, for her own survival. She's been doing that for so long for her own survival. Now that the kids have knowledge of what has been going on, and maybe that was something, and this is kind of a loose theory, but maybe that was something that made it so easy for her, is that she's like, the kids, they don't know what's going on. It's only one kid at a time. More kids are coming in. Like, I can deal with that. But now that the kids know the whole, what's behind the curtains, now that that has been fully established, I'm wondering if she's just like now feeling guilty. Now she, now the weight's kind of falling in on her, and and then maybe she'll actually end up starting to turn over a new leaf. That's a super, super, super stretch. Probably not even going to be even close to accurate. But I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I don't know fully what's going to happen as far as Grace's involvement. Maybe Norman, maybe that's something. She captures them all. And Norman is just like, you know, Mom, I know how to get that thing out of your neck. You know what I mean? Ooh. And something like that happens where he's just like, they experimented on me. Yes, I'm hurting right now, but I was able to get it to where now I left the farm and I'm not exploded. You know, like I'm kind of kidding. Now, granted, of course, they wouldn't want to explode the kids because meat, grade A meat, their brains are delicious, all that good stuff. But I'm wondering
if grade A Wagyu meat, man.
But I'm wondering if that's going to be something that's going to kind of come up. It's just like, he's like, I can help you get that thing out of your neck. So I don't know, we'll have to see. I do want to say, yeah, we're going to skip over the, that time I got reincarnated as a slime. So you got, we're going to save that for next week. I'm going to try to keep these same questions that we have up here. There'll be about five of them, or four of them. I did want to go down to Hidden Gems, and this is an anime that you've watched. I'm not sure if you completed it. I've completed it, but I don't see a whole lot of people talking about it. So we're going to talk about Darwin's Game. So it's a 17-year-old Kaname Sudo accepts an online invitation from a friend and play an app game called Darwin's Game. Unbeknownst to him, that involves fighting between life and death. Those who play the game are given a sigil, an ability of that varies from player to player. Trapped in this game of relentless murder and conquest, Kaname determines to clear the game and seek out the killer game master. So, Hunger Games, practically what this is. It gets very interesting. It's pretty good. It's pretty darn good. And like, it's one that I started it and I actually couldn't get past the first episode the first time I watched it. I kept on falling asleep, even in the middle of the day. So I was just like, I kept falling asleep. I kept getting tired. I ended up fully pushing through it one day, got through the first episode, ended very uniquely and very odd. But then, like, as it progressed, you see the development of the main character. The way he started now versus where he's at the end of the first season, two entirely different people. It's almost like Naofumi from Rising of the Shield Hero, of where he started to where he's at now. Very similar concept. It is one of those ones where just like, I don't know who's going to live. I don't know who's going to die. You have the sense that the main characters are going to live. You just kind of have that feeling. But there are some surprises that happen throughout the series that you just actually kind of don't see coming. But I would definitely highly recommend it. DG is tight. That's what he just said. Yeah, Darwin's Game is tight. That's from Ohio. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. So, yeah, there you have it. Darwin's Game, if you guys haven't checked it out, it's on Funimation. I believe it's on Crunchyroll as well. Definitely check that stuff out. I think you guys would enjoy it.
Question for you. Did you ever see the movie Nerve with Emma Roberts and Dave Franco?
I haven't, no.
So to me, Darwin's Game feels like a combination between like Nerve and Hunger Games, but with like kind of like superpowers a little bit.
Interesting.
Where the movie Nerve is like basically like it's kind of like it's very similar to Darwin's Game in the sense that it's a phone. and it's basically like live streaming like bets where someone's like, oh, I dare you to go do this. Mm-hmm. And so if you do the dare, you get money for it, but you stream yourself doing it. And the thing is that the dares keep getting more and more intense and life-threatening, and it gets to a very crazy point where, like, at first it's like, oh, do this really stupid petty thing, and then it goes all the way up to like jump a friggin' bridge or like steal this or like go hit that, beat that person up or go kill this person. Like, so it almost feels like a perpetual Hunger Games, where like you're constantly being like thrown into different games that you have to go up against people in. And if you win, you get money. And so it's kind of one of those things where like if you win these games, like if you enter the game, you're pretty much stuck. You can't get out because you're forced to have to play the game, which is exactly why the whole purpose of the story and the driver of the main character is to find the game master and take him out. Because if he takes out the game master, he takes out the game. So that's the idea. But to me, it feels kind of like a mix between like Hunger Games and the movie Nerve.
I do want to ask, before we go ahead and dive into this last little bit of, as we dive into this, we're not going to be talking about that time I got reincarnated as a slime today. However, that does not disregard the fantasy deathmatch I have right now between these two individuals. Shion from That Time I Got Reincarnated versus Raftalia from Rising of the Shield Hero. Who's winning?
In terms of raw strength, I'd have to say Shion. Okay. But I feel like Raftalia might be able to outsmart her. They're both incredibly powerful fighters. Like Raftalia is Nalfumi's sword, while he is his shield, and Shion in of herself is incredibly powerful in her own right. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you already saw like one of the earlier episodes of the season where like she had an entire like energy ball that would have just leveled like everything around it within several miles.
For Shion,
And so it's just like, so she is incredibly powerful. I feel like if it was one of those kind of things where like, if she was like, screw it, I'm just going to drop this bomb on you, I feel like it's going to be Shion. But I feel like if Raftalia can actually get, you know, maybe outsmart her, outspeed her, I definitely think that I feel like Raftalia might be able to outsmart her. But ultimately, I feel like Shion would probably win.
I agree. I think that Shion would win. Ohio agrees with us too inside the chat. I think Shion would win.
Good man.
I think that would be one heck of a fight for sure, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. But I think Shion would come out victorious just because of how strong she is. Keeping in mind that, again, Raftalia does have that invisible cloak. She does have light magic. You know what I mean? So maybe even like mm-hmm. with that sword, if she goes invisible, like what she did to mine, she could even go invisible, get behind Shion, stab her with that invisible sword that seals your magic. It could be even something like that. But then again, Shion is very diverse in hand-to-hand combat, just like Raftalia is. And that's kind of what I was thinking about it, is if it came to hand-to-hand combat, sword combat, it's just crazy to think about. I think that would be a really good fight, but I think ultimately Shion would win.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. Well, yeah, guys.
That was one of like the easier ones we've had.
What the
those fantasy death matches. Yeah, that's one of the easier ones. We're just like, yeah, I think so. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, guys, yep, that does it here for us on All Day Anime Episode 9. Definitely want to give you guys a shout out and appreciation for tuning in, for watching in, the whole nine. Make sure you guys are checking us out on social media platforms as Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of that, patreon.com/ALWTGaming. If you go to the Twitch, www.twitch.tv/ALWTGaming. You guys can also check out our website at www.ALWTGaming.com. And yeah, be on the lookout for our segment, which is coming this Tuesday. Tomorrow is Sin segment with TBF Abyss and Mildewy Carrot as they're going through Halo. Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, all things gaming. We're going to talk about the video games that you guys love and adore and everything underneath the video game sun with gaming news. Thursday is going to be Smite Night with the crew, the brew, the dudes. And then of course this coming Sunday brings us all the way back to our 9 to 5. I mean, not 9 to 5, is our all day anime segment. And then on the 13th here, which is going to be coming up, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, is our 9 to 5 segment. So be on the lookout for all of that. And of course, thank you very much, Ohio Inside the Chat. Don't forget your Raise Energy, which you guys can get at RepSports, REPPSports.com. Type in ALWT Game at checkout. Get 15% off your water supplements, your workout powders, your Raise Energy, as Ohio had mentioned inside the chat. Everything is 15% off if you type in ALWT Gaming. It's a drink that you don't want to pass up. All right, raise the bar, raise your spirits, raise your dreams. Gravity Mark, do you have anything lastly you would like to say before we dip on out of here?
I mean, you already know peace, love, and anime, my man. You know what? Like, I'll just throw this out there for everyone watching this now, down the line. Go try something new. Like, in terms of like whether it's anime, manga, video games, just doing something new in life. Like, just go try something new. Like, try something new, learn something new. I'm actually learning Japanese. Actually just bought a whole bunch of Genki books, so I'm going to be learning Japanese. So, you know, it's always been a really huge weeb dream of mine, so I'm going to make that come true. So just try something new. Just especially like while, you know, the pandemic's still going on, you know, lockdowns are still kind of here and there, you know, a lot of restrictions are lifting up, but just try something new. Learn, add a new tool to your tool belt. Watch a genre of an anime that you've never watched before. Read something new. Just try something new. Spice up your life a little bit.
There you go. There you go. And as you guys, again, as a reminder, after this episode, I mean, if you guys were watching live, awesome. You guys may have already beat us to the punch, but it should be Attack on Titan final episode for this part of the season, final season to come on out. So make sure you guys give that a watch. And as always, guys, control. Alt.
Complete.
Peace.